produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of Love Your Making. It's where leaders have sage cup-to-cup conversations with each other about how they lead with love. How about that? This is Dr. B, your honored host and just spokesperson for the Lord during this time. Listen, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. Father, we can't do anything well without you, and we're not going to try. We're going to ask for the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, that when we open up our mouths, something will be said, oh God, to glorify you and to benefit mankind. Father, this broadcast goes all over the world, and we want everyone all over the world, particularly your leaders, to know that you love him first. And number two, that you desire to perform the work through them so they do not have to lean on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you, and you will direct their path. Thank you, Father, for loving on us this way and trusting us in this place. It's in your darling son Jesus' name we praise you and we pray. Amen, amen, and amen again. Listen, I have missed being with you. And so we're just going to jump right into the teaching, because I don't want you to miss a word of what God is echoing in the kingdom this day. About an hour ago, I went live on Facebook on my My Sister Care International page. The ministry I started back in 1987. And in that community tonight, I just shared with them from the first Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 13, and in honor of it being here in America, particularly Women's History Month, I wanted to give them the sixth committal principle we have in My Sister Care, our commitment to each other in the sisterhood, and that is to help her to do what honors God the most. It was so amazing what God shared with us. And I would just simply like to share it with you tonight in our own forum. Listen, all of us are leaders on that site, and all of us are leaders here in my audience now. So know that I'm talking to you, and this regurgitated message is going to bless you as well. So listen, turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to start reading at the first verse, okay? The writer says, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Nothing. And I paused there tonight in my teaching. I'm going to pause here too with you. Listen, I gain nothing. I gain nothing if I don't do whatever I do with all of my amazing giftings, if I don't do it with love. Isn't that something? I gain nothing. They didn't just write that in the scripture yesterday. In that meaning, it was always there. Listen, God is love. And if we're to represent him well in our leadership, we have to do it his way. Even Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Everything was provocated on the love message. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. I don't care how good you can preach, how good you can teach, how good you can fish men, but if you got to be loving. And so that was the whole point of this 13th chapter. Let's read on. Verse 4 says, "Love is patient." He talks about what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Dr. V, we've heard this message. We preach this message ourselves over and over again. What's new in here? We know this already. Well, let me keep reading. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It's so funny. I listened to the recording again. I realized that when I got down to always perseveres, I said always preserves. And I went on to give just a beautiful example of what, being a country girl that I am, what preserves, the process of making preserves, how they're picked from the tree, the fruit, whatever it is, apples, pears, peaches, grapes, what have you, and they're heated up in a big pot, and they've added all the ingredients, and then they're put in the jars, the mason jars, hot, closed up, and then put away in a dark place. So I talked about that whole process and how as the preserves age, they get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And sometimes we don't walk with people until they get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Yeah, we don't. We just leave them after a while. We're not patient with them at all. You know, we don't walk them through their process and then wait to see what God's going to do to make them sweet, sweet, sweet. And then I hang around that part that says always protects. And I talked about how important it was to protect the business of our colleagues, the business of our co-laborers. In this community, I was talking about the business of our sisters. You know, how you cover them, how you don't put them out there, that you may be able to see their very weakest places and uncomely places, but we don't broadcast that. We cover them. We protect them. It's as if, you know, if I gave you my purse and said, "Hold on to this till I go to the bathroom and come back." And you say, sure, I'll watch your purse. I'll hold on to it. I'll let nothing happen to it. Well, we need to do that with each other's business, our character, our ministries, our families. Protect those things from the elements of the world that were coming to steal, kill, and destroy. If you could, if you have the wherewithal to do so, protect this there. So I love that part when I was sharing tonight. But I want to go on to verse 8 because I think it's good. Love never fails. I know you hear this. It's on plaques, it's on posters, it's on cards, it's on our business cards, it's on our license plates. But do we really believe that love never fails? Then he goes on to tell you what will fail. Prophecies will fail. Knowledge, tongues, all those things, they will fail. It'll come a time where it won't even be necessary. And then he went on to talk about this part, what I think is really important. When we get down to verse 9, it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part, it disappears. When completeness comes. Then he goes on to say this. He brings it right back to our court. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put the childhood stuff behind me. Listen, as leaders, we have to grow on to maturity. We may start out immature. We may start out in a place where we're novice. But God is expecting us to grow up. He's expecting us to grow up and speak in grown-up language to each other. But still, in all you're speaking, what? Be loving. Show the love. Be the love. Verse 12, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face when completeness comes, right? Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And I talked about that fully known for a minute. The woman that Jesus waited for at the well, when they got there and they had a lengthy conversation, I don't know how long it was, but it was long enough for Jesus to tell her everything she'd ever done. And that was her testimony leaving there. Come see a man who told me everything ever I done. Is this not the Christ? Well, what does this mean to us? It means that every word that proceeds out your mouth is being recorded. God is listening. Every deed you do in the body, it's being recorded. God saw it. God knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows the motive of our heart. He knows the condition of our heart. He knows when there's love there, when there's hatred there, when there's envy there, when there's boastfulness there. He knows when there's jealousy there. He knows all of that. We cannot hide anything from him. In fact, you know, our darkness is very light to him. We are very transparent in God's eyes. He knows our downfalls. He knows our downsetting. And so because he knows all of that, when he asks us to be something that is challenging for us to be, which is love, he also knows that he's going to have to help us. Yeah, he's going to have to help us to be loving, to have great gifts. Preach, teach, prophesy, sing, you know, plant churches, do all these kinds of things that we do. But there's a way that he wants it done. And that is in love. When we look at verse 13, he says this, and now these three remain. Faith remains, hope remains, and love remains. But the greatest of these, the writer says, is love. You can have the gift of faith. You get hope greater than anybody. But in all that, if you don't have love, love has to be there, and it has to be the greatest among all things. The Bible tells us clearly that the Lord wants you to love him with all your heart and all your soul, with all your might. He wants to love us, you know, and he did love on us from John 3:16. He gave his son. And then his son came into the world and he was loved just like he was. And one of the last commandments, one of the last things he asked one of his disciples to do, I talked about it earlier. He asked Peter, Peter, I've already prayed for you, which meant that what he needed Peter to do, he needed to support him. And he supported him by praying for him in advance. Because Satan decides to sift you as wheat, he would begin to tell him. He says, but I've already prayed for you. He said, when you are strengthened, go strengthen the brethren. Why am I bringing this up right here now? Leaders, one of the most important things that we can do as leaders is not have an ordination service. and cloak everybody in these amazing, beautiful garments and anoint their heads with oil and whatever like that, and call them up, you know, give them these great titles, apostle this and bishop this and pastor this and evangelist that. All those titles don't mean nothing, 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 if we don't teach them and hold them to the fire, this place of passion and compassion and truth, and it's called love. God does not want us to be a sounding brass. He does not want us to misrepresent him. He does not want us to wound his sheep any further than they've already been wounded in the trials and tribulations of life. He wants us to come and help them take care of their own wound care. He wants us to love them into wholeness. He wants to trust us in this place so desperately that he asked his disciples, if you love me, you really love me, then you can feed my sheep. Because if you love me, you won't do anything out of my will and my way. You won't intentionally wound. You won't get puffed up in your titles. You won't get puffed up in your position. You won't get puffed up when you start making money or when you don't have money. You won't exact from the people. You won't lord over the people. God needs to trust leaders to lead with love, which also means that you have to hold those accountable in the kingdom that you're raising up as sons and daughters to be leaders in your stead or be leaders alongside you. Do not let people get away with being unkind and unloving and impatient, and don't let them get away with envying and strife and boasting, and don't let them get away with delighting with anything other than the fact that God loves them and they love God and they want to lead in a loving, compassionate, spirit-filled, word-grounded way. I'm calling you as a leader to be responsible for what's going on in your heart as you represent God in the kingdom, and what's going on in the heart of those that you're raising up to be leaders alongside you. Paul encouraged me the way he encouraged Timothy. Yeah, he did. He loved on Timothy in the way he encouraged him. Remember the laying on the hands of your grandmother and your mother. Remember what you've been taught. But also, don't stand in front of the people and act like God is not backing you, because this is my paraphrase, God is backing you. But he wanted Timothy to grow up as a leader. Grow up as a leader. And I want you, all the Timothys that are in your life, amen, hold them accountable to this scripture. I don't care how good they can play the piano, how good they can preach, how good they can teach, how good they can evangelize and draw a crowd with their giftings. God is judging the heart. He said, I don't want you to rend your clothes. I want you to rend your heart. Raise up leaders who love God, who love his people. My pastor used to tell me all the time, Pastor Apostle, Chief Apostle, yeah, I think that's his title lately. He said years ago, before he even became an apostle, he said to us, he said, do the right thing, Dr. V. Do it for the right reason. Do it the right way to glorify God and to benefit mankind. Yeah, he used to tell us that all the time. And then he used to tell us, listen, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. When you present your body, you're also presenting that heart that must be filled with love, must be prone to teach, must be prone to quickly forgive, must be lead you to acts of kindness, must deny your flesh in every chance it gets that want to boast up and want to envy and want to do anything that will take away from God's glory. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is, I know it's basic stuff. I know you probably want to hear something deep and wonderful and prophetic, but let me tell you something. This is the best deepness you can ever have. Listen, God, I open up my heart to you. I present my heart to you. David said it best. Lord, search me And if there's any wicked way in me, I want you to cleanse me. Cleanse me with hyssop. Wash my mouth out. Clean my heart out. Give me a new heart. Renew in me a right spirit. All that. David knew that without God and without the admonishing of God, without him constantly presenting himself to God, that he would go his own fleshly way and do what he did. And some things he did do and what? Had to come back and repent for it. It was his iniquity. He realized when he was suffering. When he was asking God how long, he knew that he really earned the wait. Yes, I was. God trying to wait on us to recognize that we need to repent from some stuff that we've already done. Come on, even as leaders. As a leader, David did a whole lot of the stuff that he did. Come on now. So don't think just because they put a leader in the front of your name, put a three letters in the back of your name, that you've arrived and you're not prone to sin. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that what? Does so easily beset us. It ain't easy. It ain't hard, rather, to sin. That's an easy thing to do. Our flesh desires it. Our flesh craves it. You know, it could care less about loving when it's getting its way, when it's being satiated by its own lust that's there. And as leaders, we have to be admonished that we have to constantly stretch out on the altar, constantly say, God, search me, constantly confess to God, I can do nothing well without you. You know, Paul said in his word, you know, I've learned now to be abounding to abase. And I think that he really wanted us to hear that, because he was probably in some situations to where he could have been, you know, unseemly and act unseemly when he did not have the spirit of contentment, when he did not trust God to be in that base place and for God to still be God in his life and be sufficient for him, and knowing that God was worth the wait, that he didn't have to rush ahead of God, didn't have to do anything that was contrary to God's will and way in that season. In the season that he was abased, in the season that he was abound, in the season that he had a whole lot, he knew that his flesh could do and say things that and were contrary to the will and the way of the Lord. And so he said, listen, you're going to be content here. You're not going to usurp God's glory or authority in your life just because you got it going on right now. And then when you don't, you're still not going to do that. You know, I've learned that whatever state that I am in, to be content, Paul said. And so what I'm telling you here, again, leaders, again, listen, tilt your cup over. Let some of that seep out of it that you know has already corrupted your mind and your heart and your spirit to where it is taking the place of pure love, where it is just grounded in your own gifts and not in the gift and not in the most excellent way, which is love. Love, again, is the most excellent way. Let me say it again. Love is the most excellent way. It starts out. The first verse, the writer says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And it ends with, and now these three remain after what I've shown you. What remains is faith. What remains is hope. What remains is love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for reminding us that love is key. Reminding us that no matter how gifted we are, if we do not have love, we're just a sounding brass cymbal. We're making noise and we're not gaining anything individually for ourselves. There's no gain in our being unloving. There's no gain with us being contrary to your will and your way. Father, help us as leaders to remember that love is the most excellent way. Help us as leaders to know that now faith and now hope and now love, those three things remain. But you are looking at the quality of our serve by the way we love. You said in your word that I know that you love me by the way you love the brethren. I know, Father, that you are expecting us to lead with love. And so with that, we submit ourselves. We put ourselves on the altar. We become that sacrifice. Help us to be more loving in our leadership. Help us to be more wise in our leadership by doing it your way and not our way. Help us to not lean on our own understanding, Father, but in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. Father, I speak to and I lift before you myself and leaders all over the world who's listening to this broadcast live in our archive, who's listening all over the world. Father, at such a time as this, there's so many decisions that we can make, but the best decision we know from this teaching tonight that we can make is that decision to love. Serve with love. Lead with love. Be the love we are looking for, even ourselves. Therein, we gain the best treasure, doing it your way and not our way. This has been Love Your Making with Dr. V. Until next time, I want you to lead with love. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.